When cheerleaders transform into fanged monsters on your first day of high school orientation, you know you're in for more than just freshman anxiety. For Percy Jackson, this attack by Empusai, ancient vampire-like creatures with mismatched legs and flaming hair, is just the beginning of his most dangerous adventure yet. The encounter introduces Rachel Elizabeth Dare, a remarkable mortal who can see through the supernatural veil known as the Mist, and delivers a chilling warning. Camp Half-Blood will soon burn, and Percy's friends will serve the Titan Lord Kronos. This isn't just another monster battle. It's the opening salvo in a war that threatens the only safe haven demigods have ever known. Back at camp, something feels off. A mysterious new sword instructor named Quintus prowls the grounds with his pet hellhound, while Percy's friend Grover faces losing his searcher's license unless he can prove his claim of hearing the lost god Pan. The true danger reveals itself when Percy and Annabeth accidentally discover an entrance to the legendary labyrinth, a maze so vast it spreads beneath the entire mortal world, shifting and changing like a living entity. If Kronos' forces master this maze, they could bypass all of Camp Half-Blood's defenses and destroy it from within. The labyrinth disorients both physically and psychologically. Its tunnels shift unpredictably between ancient stone and modern subway passages, with time flowing irregularly inside. The group realizes its deadly nature upon finding a milkman skeleton, fingers worn to bone from desperate escape attempts. They face Janus, the two-faced god of choices, who torments Annabeth until Hera intervenes with an ominous warning. At Alcatraz, they battle the monstrous Compe while trying to free Briaris, the last hundred-handed one. Rather than finding a powerful ally, they discover a broken creature who refuses to help, devastating Tyson, who had idolized him. At Triple G Ranch, they encounter Nico D'Angelo, still bitter about his sister's death. When the three-bodied ranch owner Garion plans to sell them to Luke's forces, Percy makes a desperate bargain: clean the filthy stables by sunset or be sold. Despite succeeding by creating cleansing water geysers, Garion betrays their agreement, forcing Percy to slay him with an arrow through all three hearts. The quest divides when they discover a tunnel to Pan. While Grover and Tyson follow it, Percy and Annabeth investigate Mount St. Helens for Hephaestus, finding sea demons forging Kronos' weapons. Percy unleashes his power to save Annabeth, causing an explosion that blasts him from the volcano and injures him severely. Percy awakens on Ogygia with the immortal Calypso, who tends his wounds. Cursed to fall in love with heroes who can never stay, she offers Percy immortal paradise and escape from his prophecy. Despite temptation, Percy chooses his responsibilities, only to find 2 weeks have passed and camp has held his funeral. Meanwhile, Grover and Tyson find Pan in a magical cavern housing extinct animals. The fading god explains he's been diminishing as the wild disappears. The great god Pan is dead, he declares, before dissolving into mist that enters them all, especially Grover. His final message? They must remake the wild, a little at a time, each in your own corner of the world. Percy recruits Rachel Elizabeth Dare, whose mortal sight helps navigate the labyrinth despite Annabeth's jealousy. Rachel guides them to an arena where Luke seeks passage from Antaeus, another son of Poseidon. Percy defeats his half-brother by suspending him above ground, cutting off his healing connection to Gaia. At Daedalus's workshop, they discover Quintus is actually Daedalus himself, living in an automaton body. The inventor has betrayed them by giving Ariadne's string to Luke in exchange for Kronos' protection from King Minos, his ancient pursuer. Their confrontation is interrupted when monsters arrive with a captive Nico, who breaks free and banishes Minos' ghost, declaring himself the true Ghost King. As they escape using Daedalus' bronze wings, Percy visits Mount Othrys and witnesses a horrifying sight. Kronos has possessed Luke's body, making it invulnerable and granting him power over time itself. The labyrinth becomes the conduit for an all-out assault on Camp Half-Blood. Despite elaborate defenses, celestial bronze razor wire, Greek fire pits, and strategic fighter positions, the campers are overwhelmed by waves of monsters. Giants with tree trunk clubs, snake women warriors, and Campy with her poisonous scimitars push the defenders toward their cabins. The tide turns with two unexpected interventions. Daedalus arrives with his hellhound Mrs. O'Leary to fight alongside those he betrayed, and Briaris joins the battle, using his hundred hands to bury Campy under rocks. As the enemy regroups, Grover channels Pan's power, releasing a sound of wild magic that triggers panic in enemy ranks, sending Kronos' army fleeing back into the labyrinth. Daedalus then makes the ultimate sacrifice, ending his unnaturally extended life, which also destroys the labyrinth itself, as the maze had become magically linked to his life force. The victory brings grief as the camp mourns fallen heroes like Lee Fletcher and Castor, with even Dionysus showing rare sorrow for his son. Reports surface of minor gods defecting to Kronos' side. During Percy's birthday celebration, Poseidon appears, confirming Kronos has returned in Luke's body and that ancient sea deities are joining the rebellion. He gifts Percy a sand dollar with cryptic instructions about its future use. The labyrinth's true terror reflects internal struggles. Within its corridors, each character confronts their deepest fears. Annabeth faces leadership burdens. Grover battles doubts about finding Pan. Tyson sees his hero worship crumble. And Percy wrestles with mounting responsibilities and the temptation to escape them. The maze serves as a metaphor for adolescence, a confusing time of shifting paths, disappointing guides, and the need to develop one's own internal compass. Daedalus's explanation that the labyrinth reads your thoughts and grows upon your fears describes both his creation and the universal experience of growing up. The labyrinth teaches that we each must find our own guiding thread through life. For Rachel, it's her mortal perspective. For Annabeth, her analytical mind. For Grover, his connection to nature. For Percy, his loyalty to friends. After his birthday, Percy plants Calypso's moonlace in a window box when Nico appears with a plan to defeat Luke. As Percy's prophesied 16th birthday approaches, the moonlace glows against Manhattan's skyline, ancient magic persisting in our modern world. Pan's passing symbolizes that solutions won't come from external saviors, but from within. If you would find Pan, take up Pan's spirit, suggests divinity isn't separate from us, but something we internalize through our choices. Like Percy planting a flower from a paradise he left behind, we choose between comfort and purpose. The moonlace against Manhattan's harsh landscape shows beauty can take root in unexpected places, and our strengths often emerge from difficult journeys. In your own labyrinth, the path isn't always marked, and sometimes the monsters we fear most are within ourselves.